The doctor is in. Hello? And taking your calls at 800-222-5222. It's Dr. Drew, Midday Live with Leanne Tweeden. And you can get it right now.
It is Midday Live, Leanne Tweeden, Dr. Drew. Based on our call from Conrad, I went back to some of the articles. And again, the articles say that ICE is going, people with criminal histories are being sought, not just those with deportation orders. So there's deportation crime and criminal history in addition to that. And also, you know, why Trump was sort of trumpeting this may be an attempt to try to get legislators to the table to change immigration laws. Yeah. Also, there's another side to this, too. If you were somebody with a criminal history, with a deportation order, and you're worried about causing collateral damage, why don't you self-report?
Yeah.
Why don't you save the people that don't want to get picked up, don't have criminal histories, and go self-report? That'd be the noble thing to do, it seems to me.
Yeah.
Switching gears, we are going to talk to Sharon Lyko, family law defense attorney. 800-222-5222 is our phone number. And Sharon, we want to talk about this leniency case in a rape circumstance because this kid came from a, quote, good family. What do you say?
That's right. And who said that wealth and privilege don't have a place in our society?
Yeah.
It's pretty outrageous. It's despicable. I mean, there's actually two cases out of New Jersey. One involves this judge, James Toivano, where he refused to allow a 16-year-old boy to be tried as an adult in a rape of another 16-year-old girl. The judge defended it by claiming the boy comes from a good family, he has good grades, he's probably going to get into a good college. And then, strangely enough, the judge decided that it really wasn't a real rape, because in his mind, that a real rape, a, quote, traditional rape, involves...
wait, slow down.
Wait,
this
what?
Is getting more and more...
Hold on.
It's more comical. Let's talk. What's an untraditional rape?
A judge is saying this?
Like,
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. No, a traditional rape involves two or more males, and it has to occur at gunpoint or with a weapon, and where the person is clearly mishandled.
Is this judge still on the bench this day?
Hopefully not for long.
Oh, my God.
There's a movement to impeach him.
Please.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable in this day and age that you'd see that kind of bias. I don't know what's going on in New Jersey, but something bad is in the water. Because that's conduct from a judge that we should not be seeing in this day and age.
Is there, you know, in medicine we have oversight professional society and boards and state licensing. Is there anything to oversight judges? I mean, he seems so out of touch with currently available wisdom, let's say. Just that's the nicest way I can say it.
There are judicial oversight committees, and I believe he's being reported there. There's also a movement. I don't know if they're petitioning the governor, but to get him removed.
I worry about his. You know, judges get dementia. You know, they get old on the bench and they get problems. I've seen some very serious cognitive and. You know,
yeah, but dementia causes a judge to say, well, rape is really two or more men and you have to be held at gunpoint. And I mean,
know,
that
they,
seems
they have overlearned. Those of us that practice these professions, we have overlearned material that we spew out
from a long time ago. That's what it's been in his mind. And he just kind of spews it back out.
Like, he can be rigid, not adjust. Who knows? He could be drained. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. But something feels like distorted in this man's thinking or out of touch. It makes me worry about his medical status.
Yeah. And, you know, people are products of their environments. Who knows where this judge comes from?
Yeah.
Does he come from a privileged family
where
money and education and the type of school you got into, you know, meant everything in the world, and you don't want that opportunity to be trashed because you had a little mistake when you were 16?
Right. You're right, though. I mean, it's just that we don't, judges are still people.
Drew, remember when we were doing your HLN show? What was the judge and people were coming up with that term, the young kid who killed Stanford. Some of his friends in the truck and got away with murder? And the judge was like,
Affluenza.
Yes, affluenza. What?
That's right.
Remember that? That was like kind of the, I had the same outrage. And I'm like, are you kidding me? If that was you or me.
Parents also.
But to me, that was an outrage. The so-called expert witness who was a psychologist who made that case, that was so outside of any professionally appropriate, any professional standard, that we all were angry with the witness, not with the judge.
Right.
Well, the judge had to take what the witness said.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's sort of in the same vein when the judge is saying this, and we're all going, what? These are people that are supposed to be the people that you're looking up to in the court of law, or the people witnesses.
In the setting of an expert witness, you understand this was somebody maybe persuaded by money or whatever.
Well, right.
But you don't expect that of the judge.
Sitting on the bench.
That's
handing down what, you know, it's supposed to be justice for the victim who was raped and their family. I mean,
Sharon,
outrageous.
Sharon, there are two cases, aren't just
one?
It's not
cases.
The same judge, is it?
Yeah, no, it's a different judge, but another point is not only, you know, was his definition of traditional rape of his own making, he chastised the prosecutors for not explaining to the victim the impact on the defendant's life if he were to be tried as an adult.
Stop.
Wow. Crazy. Super crazy.
Yeah.
The impact on
the young lady that he raped.
Right, the victim.
Please.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
God.
Because I understand there's a difference. The kid would have been tried in juvenile court, and the prosecutors wanted to get it moved to adult court. In New Jersey, if someone's been accused of a serious crime and they're over 15 years of age, they can be tried as an adult. And the consequences are much different.
Of course.
Juvenile courts, I think, send the wrong message. And they do not punish kids. They just kind of tell them, oh, no, don't do that again, you know, and then they let them go.
Yeah. Right.
Then they turn 18 and wham.
Right.
They do the same thing, and all of a sudden they're facing 20 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it was the kid wanted to try to keep the case out of the adult court. And this judge was all for that, because in most juvenile cases, those records are sealed once a kid becomes an adult. Mm. So there's a huge advantage for a case to stay in juvenile court. But it should not rest on somebody's pedigree and the college that they might get in.
What's the other case?
The other case had to do with another judge in New Jersey, where this boy was 16, girl was 12. They were at a party, and the girl had been drinking. I presume the boy had as well, but the girl had been drinking, and this boy rapes her. Films it. The film evidently showed her being intoxicated and I guess her head banging against the wall. Mm-hmm. He then published it and sent the video around to his friends and continued to do so when, you know, the girl was pleading with him not to do this.
Isn't
so,
that also,
again, another
that's
question
trafficking,
of...
Trafficking in child pornography at that point, too.
Yeah. You know, should this kid be charged as an adult? And the judge says she didn't think so because
she there's a female
other
judge
than losing her virginity, the victim did not suffer any emotional, mental, or physical abuse.
What?
Oh, boy.
She didn't suffer that much.
Oh, that much.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, where do they measure? Where's the scale? Where's the little instrument that measures the suffering quotient for a rape
victim? You know, this judge was a former prosecutor herself, so that's seems to be a really unusual statement coming from a prosecutor. But
do you think it's possible, Dr. Drew, that this judge was formally abused maybe when she was younger? Is that possible?
I can't say that from this behavior yet, but I know where you're going.
You know, I'm trying to figure out how can you say that about a young girl? Like, you know.
The formerly abused usually end up to be perpetrators when they get older.
They can. Yeah. Or they seek out relationships with perpetrators. That's sort of where
I don't know. What is the psychological makeup of somebody
making excuses or saying, she's not really that. I mean, she's not a psychologist. How does she know how hurt she is?
I'm sitting on high and I don't know the judge, but it just feels like somebody that has disdain for women.
Right.
Some sort of issue.
Yeah. That's where I was trying to go. I'm trying to figure out. I'm delving deep. I don't know. I'm just pulling at strings because I can't figure that out. I can't figure out her behavior.
It's also illustrative of the amount of power judges have. People don't realize how much power and discretion an individual judge has. I mean, both of these cases were overturned by the appellate court, and both of these boys ended up being tried as adults. But
okay, so they were overturned, though.
On appeal.
Okay. Well, thank God.
How come people are finding out about it now?
I don't know. I'm not sure when the appellate decisions were entered. It may have been fairly recently because these cases, I know, were a few years old, but it takes time to wind their way through the justice system. The wheels of justice move slowly.
Yeah, indeed. I'm learning that the hard way. We're speaking to family law defense attorney Sharon Lyko. You can follow her at Sharon D. Lyko, LIKO, or also Men's Rights Law, plural on all front, mensrightslaw.com. And these attempts to impeach the judges, are those likely to be successful, you think?
I would think so. This is really bad conduct. I've not personally experienced judges saying things as outrageous as that, but
who's in charge of taking a judge off the bench? Who does that?
It depends on the state. In Colorado, for example, where I am from, voters have to vote them out. I don't know what happens in New Jersey, whether voters vote them out, whether the governor can remove them, whether they have to be impeached by the legislature. It would probably be one of those.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Maybe they're hoping, too, that just by public pressure, these people will resign.
Are they either of them or both older? Again, I'm just
wondering. The man, James Trivano, is 69. Mm, and
that old.
No, and the female judge, she didn't look that old to me by her picture, maybe 40.
Crazy. Well, listen, we appreciate the information. We appreciate you joining us, Sharon Lyko. She is a family law defense attorney, again, at Sharon D. Lyko, LIKO, Men's Rights Law, where you can follow her, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon. Our number, 800-222-5222. Seems like people want to talk about these ICE raids, so we will talk a little bit about that if you wish. I still don't understand yet why it's a big issue. I don't understand why you don't just, if you want to protect the people that you love who don't want to get caught as collateral damage, then you self-report. You're a criminal and you've been deported. You've been ordered to deportation. I understand you don't like that, but that would be the noble thing to do. At the bottom of the hour, we have Media Director for Federation for American Immigration Reform, Ira Melman. Let's see if he can help us clarify these things a little bit. At the top of the hour, we have a retired nurse talking about genetic counseling and DNA data breaches. Again, our number, 800-222-5222. Be a part of this conversation. Let's see. We have, of course, our usual visit from our friend Lou Manfredini. Do you worry about the DNA data breaches, Ian?
You know, I have not done any of those testings. You know, like people are
because,
like, oh, I want to know
where I'm. Are you worried about it?
No, I just have never really been that interested. And then, yeah. But you know, as soon as everybody started doing them, I'm like, then you hear, people are like, oh, they're collecting your data now. Everybody's got a database. And then I'm like, haha, I've never done it. But then wasn't there a story that said, well, if anybody in your family, all the way down to cousins, have done this, then they can gather enough information to know that you're in their family chain because
Maybe.
I was like, oh, great.
But even so, I mean, my thing is they can have it. Take all my DNA. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But maybe somebody can tell me what the range of possibilities are. I understand people want to protect. There was also a Quest Lab data breach, too, where people's diagnoses were breached. I understand that. But I don't understand the excessive concern about medical and DNA. So maybe these, our guests will be able to help me understand that a little bit.
Are people worried that people are going to because they can't steal your DNA. They just know what your DNA is, right? Yeah. So what are they doing with the information?
Yeah. Welcome to it. 800-222-5222 again is that number. It's Midday Live, AM 790 KBC.
From Woodland Hills to Chino Hills. Get it. Right. AM 790 KBC.
It is Midday Live. Leanne Tweeden, Dr. Drew, number is 800-222-5222. We are going to go out to Ira Melman, Media Director for Federation for Immigration Reform, FAIR. Ira, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, first, we're trying to make sense of some of the, what should we call it, the drama around the call for these, what I'm understanding are criminals who have also been given deportation orders. So the officials are now going to go after them and deport them. Why is that an outrageous thing?
Yeah, I'd say it's more hysteria than anything else. As you point out, these are people who are not just in the country illegally, but in most cases, they have committed other offenses, some very, very serious offenses in some cases. They have had their day in court. They have made their case for being allowed to remain in the United States. A judge has issued a deportation order, and they are not honoring it. And, you know, you cannot have any kind of functioning society where people can simply ignore judicial orders, because if you can do it in the area of immigration, why can't the rest of us do it when a judge hands down an order we don't like?
I don't understand the logic. Why not? Why can't I just then, therefore, why can't I ignore things I don't like? What would the argument be?
Well, the argument is obviously that, you know, there's a breakdown in the system of law, in which case the country descends into, you know, some of the conditions that people are fleeing in these other countries. But, you know, this is not a scattershot effort on the part of ICE. It is not intended to terrorize people, as the advocates for the illegal aliens say. This is carrying out judicial orders against people who have had their day in court and have been ordered to be removed from the United States.
Why is this even something that the president is standing up and talking about? Why isn't it just a matter of routine?
They just
daily,
do it.
The daily professional activity of these officials.
Well, because, you know, for a long time, particularly under the Obama administration, they were neglecting this sort of enforcement. The idea was that once you got into the United States, that you were pretty much home free. And, you know, the president is making it clear to people that there has to be some measure of deterrence here. It's not just directed at the people who have these outstanding deportation orders, but it's sending a signal to other people that if you're in the country illegally, there is now at least a reasonable chance that the law is going to catch up with you and there's going to be consequence. That's the way civil laws are enforced. That's the way the IRS does it, or the Highway Patrol.
Is that the reason for being so public about it, or is it to try to muscle the legislatures into some sort of action?
I think he's probably given up, at least on local legislative bodies. You know, Congress seems to be hopeless. We are heading into an election, and the president understands that this is a key issue for most voters. The polls all show that this is the number one issue on the minds of American voters, and he is playing to that audience. I mean, it just because it's political doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. He is doing what is right and also what is beneficially politically.
You know, it's interesting when people come after, people come after President Trump for everything. I mean, he can turn left and they're like, why didn't he turn right? I mean, so it's kind of the hysterics are driving all of us crazy. And sometimes we just sort of turn it off now because everything is just hysterical. And you know, some of it, we've become numb to a lot of it. But, you know, I remember during the Obama administration, you know, people called him the deporter in chief. I remember it was like, well, people are like, well, Obama deports a lot of people. And I was looking up the numbers and there are people even under ABC News between 2009, 2015, his administration removed more than 2.5 million people through immigration orders. But I don't hear anybody screaming about like, oh, well, Obama deported 2.5 million people, but they're not picking him apart for removing people that were here illegally and that, you know, went through all of their orders and refusing to show up and you know, had exhausted all their appeals. Where are the people screaming about him? I don't hear any of that.
Well, you know, Obama did cook the books a little bit. They counted people they turned around at the border as deportations. But yeah, I mean, they did at least go after the criminal aliens. And by the way, when Joe Biden opened his campaign headquarters in Philadelphia the other day, there were protests and sit-ins based on the fact that they had even done that much. So, you know, it is just
following our laws.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of raises the question. If you can't deport people who are A, breaking our immigration law, B, have violated some other law once they're here, and C, had a judge issue a deportation order, well, then who can you deport? I mean, essentially, they're saying that
no, they don't want to deport anybody. Right.
Or who can you who can you hold accountable for their crimes even? Well, let's take a little break. I got a quick break here. We're talking to Ira Melman, the media director for FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. That can be followed at FAIR Immigration, FAIR Immigration at Twitter. Also, FAIRUSA.org. Our phone number is 800-222-5222. It's Leanne Tweed and Dr. Drew. It's Midday Live, AM 790 KBC.
Joy 790 KABC for the 26th anniversary of Glendale Cruise Night on Brand Boulevard, Saturday, July 20th at 5:30, with over 300 classic cars on display, live entertainment, and fireworks. It's the best car show event of the year, and it's free. For more info, go to KABC.com.
It is Midday Live. Leanne Tweed and Dr. Drew are speaking to Ira Melman, media director for FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. And Ira, let's get a call here, if you don't mind, all right?
Sure.
All right. This is Justin. Justin, go ahead.
Hi. I just believe that the whole immigration thing is a lot of infighting. Like, I had a conversation with my grandma this morning about it because I grew up on, like, the border of the east side and north side of San Jose, which is, like, very a melting pot of the world and, like, the Bay Area, like, the whole Bay Area is. And I've had immigration explained to me by people who have dealt with it, like, their whole time of coming to America. And it was a part of life for a lot of people who live here. This whole blowing it up and in the media, I feel like, is to increase our infighting. And I know that immigration is a big issue, but again, I feel like it's to continue infighting, like the abortion thing, like the other things that have been proposed.
So you're saying they get, I think you're actually onto something. So each side gets at least gets political capital by not resolving this mess. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
So Ira, what about that?
Well, look, I mean, there is clearly room for a center position here that most Americans can agree on. Most Americans can agree on the fact that you have to have some kind of reasonable immigration laws, that they have to be enforced. And yeah, I mean, you do have people demagoguing this for political reasons, but somehow we can't seem to get Congress to move past that.
Because they use it as a political wedge to try to move towards the 2020 election. They've essentially refused to resolve it. Well, first of all, they won't do anything that benefits this president.
No compromise, yeah.
Right. No, so nothing that this president wants will go, and nothing that will help people is of concern. So the only element that remains is the political capital they can derive from it, which is only derived if they don't resolve it.
That's right. And look, I mean, you look at what Congress isn't doing about the border crisis right now. Everybody recognizes what is driving it is people recognizing that our asylum laws can be easily gamed, mm-hmm. that if you come with a child, it's a get out of jail free card. And, you know, even if you feel compassion, and I suspect everybody feels compassion for the people who are trying to get here, you understand that you cannot have a system in place that allows people to just exploit it blatantly, and yet Congress refuses to even act on that. So the obviously people in politics see this as a way to drive a wedge. You see this in the fact that the Democratic candidates all raised their hand when they said, you know, illegal immigration should be decriminalized. Almost all of them, I believe, put their hands up when they said illegal aliens should get access to public health care and public health insurance. This is where it's going, and the American public is losing out.
They're getting it here in California.
Yeah. And I don't understand why people aren't maybe... I don't understand if somebody's such an enthusiast for no borders and open immigration, whatever that means.
Just say it.
How do they explain other countries? Like, for instance, Ira, how many immigrants moved into the country of Japan last year? How many immigrants did they accept in the country of Japan last year?
Very few.
My understanding it was three.
So
how many, and have you ever tried to get a job in Canada and cross that border? I challenge you to do that. You get shaken down. Have you ever been to Australia? Have you ever been to Australia, Ira?
Yes, I have.
I have, yeah.
How'd you like that process, even if you were going to stay there just overnight in a hotel in Sydney? Wasn't that fun to go through their immigration policies?
Yeah, I remember I had a range of visas before I even left.
And for that matter, now I think about it, when I went to little country island in the Caribbean, starts with a T,
Trinidad,
one of the ones like Trinidad. Maybe it was Trinidad. Oh my God, I sat hours in the shakedowns with the immigration, and I was just going on a cruise. Why are we different? What are we trying to set a trend for the rest of the world? I mean, what's the philosophical headline that we're trying to? What's the point we're trying to make?
Well, you know, I guess you have to first ask who the we is. The we is not the American people. The American people understand that we need to enforce immigration laws and have reasonable limits. It is
politicians in power. Yeah,
political radicals, particularly now, that are driving this agenda. Just within the past week or so, you have had leading political commentators who lean towards the Democrats. You had Jay Johnson, President Obama's Secretary of Homeland Security, warn their party that they are just driving off a cliff here on this issue because they've become so radical.
It's hard to understand it could only be political capital. That could be the only.
And for the ideologues, it is to try to fundamentally alter the country. You know, if they want to bring in a social democratic system here, then they have to fundamentally alter the electorate because they're not going to get that kind of a buy-in from most of the population that is here now.
Well, Ira, we appreciate you spending a little time with us. It's fairusa.org and Twitter @fairimmigration. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Ira Milman, be a director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Our number is 800-222-5222. I have time for a little bit of calls from you guys. If you want to give me a call, we'll take them. And at the top of the hour, we're going to speak to Jamie Tyrone regarding genetic counseling and DNA data breaches. That's Leanne Tweeden. I'm Dr. Drew. It's Midday Live, AM 790 KBC.
The Morning Drive.
Wake me up. On the next Morning Drive, we'll tell you if Nancy Pelosi's finally clawed the eyes out of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
And are women really more attracted to dad bods? Well, if it's dad bod like Jason Momoa's, yeah.
And the next place for a viral flash mob is Area 51?
The Morning Drive with John Phillips and Jillian Barbary. Mornings 6 to 10. AM 790 KABC.
It is Midday Live. Leanne Tweeden, Dr. Drew. Our number is 800-222-5222. Tony will make a comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Drew, I think the game's up, so to speak, because the Democrats need a new voter pool because the current voter pool that they have, the left-leaning voter pool, has woken up. Case in point, EE. It failed. For left-leaning liberal Democrats in Los Angeles to say, I'm not giving you any more money, that's major news. Another perfect example is the recall of Josh Newman, the state senator who got recalled in the Orange County area, but he had a lot of Latino communities.
What's the story on that? Why did he get recalled? I'm not sure I know.
Because he voted for the gas tax.
Ah, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, he voted
yeah
for the
I
gas
think
tax.
I think you're on to something when it comes to people's pocketbooks, in that they're tired of getting raped financially and getting nothing for it.
But if you have a voter pool, are you there, Dr. Drew?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you have a voter pool that's dependent on the government system for assistance, right?
Right.
Then I'm your crusader.
Right.
And so I'm gonna give you another perfect example that worries them. The enrollment in regular colleges, major colleges, because of these scams and all of the conservative people are basically going to say, I'm not sending my kids to those brainwashing left-leaning institutions anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that's a problem because a lot of their leaders have been coming out of these universities, and now there's a spotlight on them. And see,
well, to be fair, I think the universities are going to blink before the leaders do because the universities have got to keep afloat. I mean, they are huge.
Well, they better
operations.
Hurry up because the conservative universities like, what is this called? Eastdale College, Arizona universities, the real Catholic universities are starting to come up and their enrollments are impacting.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm.
That's
very, very interesting.
Berkeley anymore. Yeah. You know?
Yeah,
but even when you talk about like just money too, like even just sending kids to public schools here, if you know illegal immigration, a lot of the kids that go to school that are illegal immigrant children, they get money per head that go to school.
The comedy here to me is you're sounding, and this is not meant to be pejorative. There's more to my story. You're sounding like our friend Ann Coulter, who when she wrote that book, Adios America, I thought she was way off, and then you're now saying the exact same thing she said about 10 years ago, she was onto something.
The school district, nobody likes to talk about the reality that the Los Angeles Unified School District went from a C average for a diploma to a D average.
Yeah. I mean, it's going downhill.
That's buried in the LA Times.
All right, my friend. Tony, all great points. Provocative. Thank you. Appreciate you calling.
Always keep calling in, Tony.
Yeah,
thank
keep
you.
With those. Keep us. Keep throwing that provocative stuff at us.
We'll make us think.
Challenge us. Put the gauntlets down. 800-222-5222. When we return, we're going to talk.